We're in the series that we're titled Reset, and actually today we're closing that series. And if I could say this, we all have electronic devices, whether it's smartphones or whether it's computers or whatever it might be. We have these electronic devices, and they're not designed to be on all the time, but we tend to use them so much that they are on all the time. And what ends up happening is glitches develop, and it stops functioning in the optimal way, the way it was designed to function. And then what we have to do is we have to learn to reset our phones, power them off so that they reset and go back to their original settings so that they function in the way that they're supposed to function. And it's the same way with our lives. Our lives are not to be as busy as we are. Our lives are not to be as distracted as we are. Our lives are not to be lived as worrisome as we live them. And all of these things, the busyness keeps us going, and we in ourselves need to be reset from time to time so that we have a better connection and we are able to function as we are designed to function, the way God designed us to function. Remember, in this series, what we're looking at is small adjustments make a big difference in our connection with God. I want you to hear that. Small adjustments in your life are what make a big difference in your connection with God. And that's why we're talking about this. That's why when we talk about these adjustments, they're not big adjustments. They're small adjustments. And anybody can do this. You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to be a missionary for 30 years. You don't have to go to Uganda and live there in a hut for God to be pleased with you and then for your faith to be the size. It has nothing to do with that. This is anybody can make these adjustments. And they're that important. And the question that we ask in this is, if anybody can make these adjustments, why wouldn't we? Well, the truth is, just like you resetting your phone, it takes time. And time is something we're not always willing to use. Just like our phones or our computers, it's an inconvenience. And we don't like to be inconvenienced. But sometimes we forget that the inconvenience and the time is well worth the reset and the repercussions of that and how that gets lived out in our lives. We've looked at a few things. First of all, we just want to review so you remember. Looked at three issues so far in the past 3 weeks. First one is fasting, and fasting resets our priority of God in our lives. It puts God first in our lives. If you guys weren't here for any of these gatherings, you can look them up online at faithisquest.com. You can listen to them. I highly recommend them because I think it's good for all of us. We also looked at prayer and the priority of prayer and how important it is. And prayer resets our connection with God. Listen, a small adjustment isn't about spending an hour in prayer. A small adjustment is 2 minutes is better than no minutes, right? Maybe 5 minutes is better than no minutes. It's a small adjustment. If I can just learn to make these small adjustments, it affects my connection with God. Last week, we looked at community and how important that is, and that resets our intimacy with God and with others. Because we are all created to live in relationship with God and with others, not isolated lives. It was a great talk, and I hope that, I don't say it was a great talk from the delivery standpoint. It was a great talk from the content. And man, if you didn't hear it, I would just encourage you to listen to it. So today we're going to look at why and how generosity is such an important reset in our lives. Now, I know, when I speak of generosity, your first thing is like, oh, great, Dave's talking about money. I don't even want to listen. Well, just get over it, okay, because I'm talking about it. And so let's just get on the same page, and we can listen together on this issue. You know how they say that, how do you know when you should hear a talk about an issue that you, and you're not sure if you should hear this talk or not? It's usually true that you should listen to a talk when you really don't want to hear about it, all right? That's when you know it's important. So if that's you, I'm not getting up in your business, I'm just telling you, okay? So we're talking about generosity, and a lot of us believe that we're generous people, which there's a lot of generous people in our church, I know, and I appreciate that. But a lot of us believe that we're generous because we compare ourselves with other people. We look at other people and what they do, and then we base our response on what other people do. And if we do just a little bit more, hey, look at me, I'm generous. It really becomes a selfish approach to an unselfish issue. have a video I want you to watch. I think you'll identify with it to some degree. I apologize, there is a word I had to beep out, but it is what it is, and you'll understand it, so watch the video. And exactly what was intended there, not from the standpoint of what he said. We all laugh because we identify with it to some degree. We understand what that looks like. We understand how that, what we think is generous, actually isn't generous. I mean, we understand that from our perspective, what we think we're doing is good. It's an issue that all of us deal with. We've got to first look at the definition of what generosity really is. The definition, if you want to write this in on your notes, you can. It's this: providing more than is needed or anticipated. Generosity is providing more than is needed or anticipated. Another part of that definition is an abundance of compassion for others. An abundance of compassion for others. We tend to live in this world, we tend to live in this cycle where we kind of rationalize, we ration our compassion. We ration what we believe we can do. And we ration this, what this compassion that we have for people based on a lot of different things, based on what they deserve, based on what we need, based on what we have planned for our needs. So we have this idea where we ration our compassion for other people. But it's also, it's looking for ways to help, looking for opportunities to impact lives. I didn't get permission to talk about this, but that's all right. They'll get over it. We had a great day yesterday at the snow. Did we ever get that video up? No? Okay. Next week we'll have a video, a Quest Life video of the snow day yesterday. But so we had this great time. We had 50 people that were out there. It was just a lot of fun. And you know what? The Acres, I just appreciate them. Nobody asked them. Nobody told them. Nobody directed them. But they prepared the chili and the hot dogs to feed everyone because they looked for an opportunity to bless people. They looked for an opportunity for what people needed. They didn't ask for thanks. They didn't want me to say who it was. Sorry. But you know what? That's what generosity does. Generosity says, hey, I can do this. I can make an impact here. I can touch people's lives. I can affect people. I can make this is an opportunity to make this event a great event. I love the fact that the Acres have done that. And that's what generosity looks like. Our human nature, which is sinful at its core, if left unchecked, is going to lead us to live more selfish lives. We've got to understand that. Unchecked, our human nature, ourselves, if we go unchecked and we don't reset anything, we will continually become more and more selfish, self-centered, focus on us. More, we will ration our compassion less and less and less. So rather than providing, what we do is we withhold, and rather than sharing an abundance, we actually share little. Compassion with other people. Maybe you read the book. There's a book titled The Day America Told the Truth. And the question was asked in this book, which they did a study on to this question, is what would you be willing to do for $10 million? Now, our family plays this game all the time, you know, and you'd be surprised what my family would do for $10 million. I think Jordan and Caleb might run naked across the football field at the Super Bowl for $10 million, I think, but I don't know. In this book, in the study, it says this: 25% of the people that surveyed said that they would abandon their entire family. 23% said that they would become a prostitute for a week or more. 16% said that they would give up American citizenship. 16% also said that they would leave their spouse for $10 million. 10% said that they would withhold testimony to let a murderer go free. 7% said that they would kill a stranger. 3% said that they would put their kids up for adoption. That's crazy. Now, I know that none of you fit into this. None of you. Well, maybe one of you. But no, I'm just playing. None of us would. But here's what this kind of a study does show. It kind of sheds light on a couple of things. And that is, first of all, the selfishness that is in our world. We've got to understand selfishness unchecked will lead us to do some really crazy things, some ungodly things. Selfishness unchecked will lead us to do stuff we wouldn't even imagine we would do. Here's another thing it sheds light on. the power that money has in our lives. That kind of a study really sheds light on the idea of the power that money has in all of our lives. I mean, you know what? Here, the scripture doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Scripture says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And when there is a love for money, it causes us to do some really unlovely things. I believe this is why Jesus said in Luke 16:13, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot, not should not, you cannot serve both God and money." It doesn't happen. And here's why. Money will lead you to be more selfish, and God will lead you to be more selfless. You can't be divided and be selfless and selfish at the same time. So we have to really get that. I think we always need to be resetting this issue in our lives, because the truth of it is, if we cannot serve God and money, then we have to really get a grip on this issue of generosity, because it can really interfere with our connection with God if we leave it unchecked. So let's look about generosity on your notes if you want to. First of all, generosity is about more than money. We would think that generosity is just about money, and it's not. It's about your talents, it's about your time, it's about your resources, it's about all that you have. It's about your life, your breath. What are you doing with your life? Everything, all-encompassing of who you are. So it's about way more than money. But with that, generosity will include money. It will include money to some degree, because generosity is a response to the needs that I have around me, the needs in other people's lives, the needs that I encounter. It is also how I respond with what I have personally. It deals with the affection that I have for the things that I possess. What is the affection that I have for the things that I possess? And that leads us to something else we need to remember. Generosity is ultimately about the heart. Generosity is ultimately about the heart. Our hearts are at stake in this issue. All of us. Our ability to be open-handed, where we live open-handed with other people and God, or our ability to be closed-fisted, where we hold on to things before God and before other people as well. Because again, our affections and our dreams and our desires and our willingness to give to other people and help, our willingness to give at church, how we invest in God's kingdom, it's a reflection of our heart's condition. We gotta really understand that. I've said this before, but it just needs to be said again. Our heart is the CFO of our lives, the chief financial officer. Your heart is the chief financial officer. And so what that means is this: long before your money is spent, long before your resources are invested, long before your time is given, long before, your heart has already determined where, why, and how much. That is something we got to get. If our heart is the CFO of our lives, then what we're going to do is we're going to say, you know what? It's already telling us where, why, and how much. And that's how we respond to the opportunities around us. We say, oh, no, you know what? I can't do that, because our heart has already determined what's supposed to happen. Here's another one you can fill in your handout. Our hearts need generosity more than the recipients of our gifts need our gift. Your heart, my heart, needs generosity because it is so prone to selfishness. It is so prone to looking at my own needs. It is so prone to looking at my own desires, my own wants, my own dreams. It totally avoids others. It avoids what God wants. It avoids the kingdom. Here's why. Ephesians 5 says this: watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us, or observe how Christ loved you personally. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from you, but to give everything of himself to you. He didn't love to get from you. He loved to give everything of himself to you. Then it says, love like that. Now, here might be a key as to why we all need to hear that, okay? You might be thinking this: I can't do that. There's no way I can't do that. And we just dismiss it as if it's not an issue. I can't do that, so I'm not going to worry about it. This is what a glitch kind of looks like in our lives. It functions in a false or inferior way, believing or projecting that it's functioning as it should, but yet it's caught in a cycle of functioning in this improper way. The only way to reset it is to turn it off, power it down, let it set, and then turn it back on so that it goes back to its settings. We need to get to the place in our lives where we understand, you know what? The idea that we would think, I can't do that, so I'm just going to avoid it or leave it, is really shows us how we need to be reset in this area. Every single one of us. God is working in us to reflect Him, to reflect Himself. That is what God is working in us. Ephesians 4:22 says that you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, selfishness, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, being reset, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That is your design. God formed you and created you to be made and created and formed and shaped into the image of God. It's what He wants for all of us. It's one thing to know how. It's another thing to know why, and why we need to reset or allow generosity to be reset in our lives. There are many in the church that are generous people, many. And I felt like, you know what, I just wanted to ask a few of them, why are they generous? Simple question, why are you generous? Because you know what, there's a lot of people here that are generous, and I could have asked a lot more of you, so don't get your feelings hurt, don't get butt hurt about the idea that I didn't call you. Listen, we didn't need 25 points on this, right? That would have been everybody's opinion. So I just called three people, and I said, can you tell me why you're so generous? That's the question, why are you so generous? First one said this, because God is generous. That's why we are generous, because God is generous. And you got to remember that small adjustments make a big difference in our connection with God, in our ability to become like God. So Psalms 111 says that David says this, God's works are so great, worth a lifetime of study, endless enjoyment, splendor and beauty mark His craft. His generosity never gives out. There's no end to it. God's generosity never gives out. Listen, maybe the way that you might be able to understand this, the way I understand God's generosity, look at all the blessings that you've received in your life, and I can bet that you don't feel like you deserve any of them. Yet God continues to bless us. That's God's generosity. He doesn't bless us because we deserve it or because we earned it or any of that reason. He blesses us because He loves us. It's His heart. We all need to be reset in this area. God is generous. Truth is we can never be grateful for anything that we feel we're entitled to. We can also never be grateful for what we take for granted. It's only when we realize how blessed we really are that we are truly able to be generous with what God has been generous to us with. A great scripture that shows how God's generosity affects us says this in 2 Corinthians 9. It says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer. And you can make this personal, and I think you should make this personal. What does God provide in your life? You might not be a farmer, but He provides for you so that you can provide. And listen to how it says it. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. God wants us to be generous. That's why He blesses us. He doesn't bless us so that we can hoard it. Have you ever seen those movies? Have you seen that show on hoarders? It's kind of disgusting. It kind of looks like my garage. No, it's bad. I mean, not my garage, but this show, these people, they don't get rid of anything, and they hoard everything. It's like a cesspool. Everything comes in, nothing goes out. And that's exactly how a lot of us live our lives. You know, that God blesses us, but nothing goes out. Little goes out. Here's another response, another question, another response to the question, why are you generous? It's funny because before I called this individual, I already knew what their answer was going to be. I was going to write it in. I thought, no, I need to call them. Maybe they got a different answer, you know. But their answer was just what I thought it was going to be, said word for word, just like I was going to say it. Why are you so generous? Because it's not mine. This is a different approach for a lot of people because you have to understand, all the blessings that God has given you, if God has blessed you and God has given to us so much, do those blessings then become your property? Are they yours? Or do they belong to God? It's a question of ownership. Who owns the resources of your life? Not just the current resources, your future resources. That's a big question for a lot of people, because a lot of people said, hey, I earned that degree, I went to school, I got the job, that's my money. It's a big difference than somebody else recognizing that God gave you the ability to get an education. God gave you the ability or the resources to get that education. God's the one who's given you the talents in that education. He's the one that's blessed you with that job, and all that you get from that job is because of his blessings and what he's given to you. When we answer that question, who is the owner of my resources, it really changes how we live. Because now it means, do I call the shots and determine where money goes and where my time goes and where my resources go? Or if it's God's, then it's not mine anyway. I just follow what God's given me. God says, I give it because it's not mine. It's his. Your time is his. Your resources, your money, your everything is his. It's a great response. David writes in Psalms, he says in Psalms 24, he says, the earth and everything it contains is the Lord's. The world and all who live in it are his. And I don't want you to miss this, okay? Because David is a king. And David, I can just see him out on his balcony. And he looks out over the city. And as far as you can see, anybody else would say that David is the ruler of all that he could see, and it is all his. That's what a king is. It's his domain. So he looks out over the balcony, and rather than saying, all of this is mine, like any pharaoh would do, maybe Tut or maybe some of the other pharaohs, they might look out and say, it is all mine, and all of the people exist to serve me. But not David. David says, all that I see belongs to God, and all the people that I see are his. They're not mine. It's a very different perspective. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that God hasn't given you? And if everything you have is a gift from God, why would you boast as though it were not a gift? We're just taking care of what we have that belongs to God. That's what stewardship is all about. We manage what God has given to us. Here's another response to the question, why are you generous? Last one. It says, because I'm following my heart, which takes us back to what we talked about earlier. It's a heart issue, and we can't afford to lose our hearts in this. Because if we remember what we said earlier, the heart is the CFO, and long before the money is ever spent, long before your time's ever invested, long before your resources are ever used, your heart has already determined where, why, and how much. The word heart is used in the sense of our affections and what we truly and deeply love. What do you truly and deeply love? Because that is a reflection of our heart. You can assess your true affections by looking at where your treasure is, or where you're directing your money, and where you're directing your time, and where you're directing your resources, and where you're building a treasure. Truth is we don't give once we can't afford to give. Generosity comes from a heart that is looking to honor God and blessing others. Giving is not the way, is not the thing that we do once we're generous. It is the thing that we do that makes us generous. So in other words, it's not when I make this amount of money, I'll start giving. It's whatever I have, I recognize that's from God, and I'm going to give whatever God has given me to give. It's not, there is no popularity contest. There is no award for who gives the most. This is a heart issue. This is between us and God personally. And so we give out of what God has given to us. Generosity is not something that is planned out. It's something that we possess within. Listen to how Jesus says it. Listen to how he deals with this heart issue. Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where you're directing your time, money, resources is what you're going to love. even if you don't love it currently, where you direct your time, resources, and money will become what you love. And I would encourage you, because this is a heart issue, that you would allow God to reset this small thing in your heart. This small part of saying, God, I was formed and shaped to be into your likeness. And my selfishness is always leading me in a different direction. I need to surrender this. I need you to shape in me a heart that reflects you. If you're standing, you could be seated for just a moment. I don't know what you think defines you. I don't know if you think you're defined by your job or your money or your possessions or your marital status or anything like that. But man, a song like that just reminds us you are loved by God. And that should be what defines you. That should be at the core of who you are, what defines you. Because you know what defines God? He's good. Always. Not because you earned it or deserve it. He's just good. Always to us. We read the scripture, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So maybe a good question to ask is, what does the balance of your bank account look like in heaven? If we're laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven by investing our time, talents, money, all the things that God has given to us, what does your bank account look like in heaven? Because that's where it matters. Can't take any of it with you. Here's what generosity is, and I'm going to go through these really quick, so just keep your pen handy if you're writing quick. Generosity is love that looks beyond itself. It puts others ahead of itself. Allows God to take care of us while we take care of others. Looks beyond ourselves. Generosity is also willing to invest time in others because time is something all of us have. Even though you don't think you have that much time, we all have the same amount of time. It's how we use that time. Generosity is also willing to use the abilities and resources that I have, whatever that might be, whatever God's blessed you with, willing to use the abilities and resources that I have. And the last one is generosity is looking for ways to invest in eternity. We all invest the money that God has given us. We all invest it somewhere. I don't know where you might invest yours. But we all invest it in what we love. That might be security, it might be pleasures, it might be stuff, it might be toys, it might be God's kingdom, it could be a lot of things, but we all invest it somewhere. When you invest yourself and you invest your time and your talents and money into God's kingdom, and you give, even on Sundays when we give here, you're giving to an eternal issue, because every time you give money that goes to Kids Quest, and that impacts the eternity and their destination of these young children that are learning about God and how much God loves them and how much Jesus loves them, what he did for them on the cross, and how they can live their lives and that they can spend eternity in heaven. And every time we give, it goes towards material and resources that we can teach kids, our kids. It also affects our youth. It affects every department. How we reach the lost is an investment in eternity. Here's the issue. We get to invest in what God loves. This world is temporary. This world and our lives is temporary. What matters is eternity. But we seem to invest everything in the temporary rather than what is eternal. Every time you volunteer for ministry, you invest your time and your resources, your talents, in whatever, in the lives of people that make a lasting impact. You know what? We talked about it in the first gathering. I'm so grateful for the Myricks who stepped up and said, we want to do Club 456 for ages 4, 5, and 6. Because we haven't had that program in a long time and we've missed it and needed it. And they said, we'll do it. And now they're investing their time into 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, into their eternity. People that are working in Kids Quest are, when you sign up for those things, when you sign up, we have two great guys that are up there and one in the back, Bob running sound. When you sign up for those things, you're investing your time into impacting people's lives that affects their eternity. And we all can take small steps in that. I just want to say one more thing about that. You guys have kids. if grandkids, the time that you take, so essential towards their eternity. You only get a small amount of time where your kids want to learn and they want to follow my parents' example and they want, their hearts are open. You only get that much. You got to take the time to invest yourself in what matters most. This isn't on your notes. If you want to write it down, you can. Generosity resets the affections of our heart. Generosity resets the affections of our heart. What we trust, love, and what owns our heart. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. Just one moment after you write that down. I want to close this off together with prayer. And you know, I don't want you guys to think I'm a pansy up here because I get emotional sometimes, but here's the deal. It really matters to me. It really does matter. I'm not just up here for my health, and I'm not just up here because I think that I'm impressed with my own voice, because that's the last thing I'm impressed with. But you know what I am? What is so important to me is your connection with God. I take that very seriously. And I really, honestly believe, passionately I believe, that it is just the smallest of adjustments that make the biggest of differences in how God designed us to live. And you might think, hey, I don't have a lot of money to give to the church. I didn't ask you for a lot of money. This is between you and God. This is about you sharing what God has given to you. And you might say, hey, you know, what if I only want to give $10? Whatever it is that you want to do, this is between you and God. What if I just want to volunteer once a month? I don't want to volunteer every week. That's between you and God. All I know is this: small adjustments lead to big differences in our lives. And I so want that for you, because you were created for this connection with God. You know what? You cannot, this whole idea of being like Christ comes from a relationship with Christ. And if you don't have a relationship, if you've never asked Jesus to be a part of your life and to have that relationship, man, this is the time to do it. This is the day to do it. You can have that conversation. You talk to him and say, man, I screwed things up. I tried to do it on my own. I screwed it up. And I really need a clean slate. I need a fresh start. And just talk to him. In fact, I'll talk to him with you. Just pray with me. Father, we come to you today. And I know that in this group that there are people that are not connected to you, or maybe just sparingly connected. Father, I just pray that today that they would come to understand how much you love them and that they are loved. And it's what defines us. And we can never be generous in and of ourselves. We need you. And so it all gets birthed out of this relationship. And you know the ones that are asking for a clean slate. They want to be connected with you. And Father, and I ask today that you would give them forgiveness and that you would give them joy, and that you would fill them with life and with generosity that changes their perspective of how they see everything. Father, we all have this place in our hearts that we deal with selfishness, and I just ask that you would deal with each one of us. Each one of us, where our time goes, where we invest our resources, where we invest our money. Father, and let us live as generous people that reflect you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.